Daf is Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. So we got to three lines down the two dots, and the Gemara says, quotes from the Mishnah, Ha'omer im yalde ishi zachar v'chulei. So the Mishnah had a whole type of statement a person said, just again a random statement, but there's some meaning to it, that the guy says, my wife gives birth to a male, a boy, so I'll give a manda to the boy, but if she gives birth to a girl, I'll give masayim. So why was that the case that was chosen, that the zachar is going to get a manda and the nekeva is going to get masayim, double? So the Gemara suggests, Lamemer, is this to suggest that the Bas Adifale mi ben? Does that mean a daughter is greater than a son, that he's giving her 200? The Ha'amar of Yochan Mishum Bar Yochai, Kol She'enu Meniach Ben Liyarsho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'ala Lav Ever. The person who doesn't leave behind himself a son to be Yorishim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be filled up, he's going to be so angry at such a person. Shenemar, the pasuk says, describing the halachas of Yerusha, Havartim es nachalasa libito, when you pass over the nachla to the daughter, and ein havara ela evra, the lashon havar, passing over, is the same lashon of, same root as evra, which is means anger, as shenemar, the pasuk says, yom evra hayom hahu. So we see that the lashon havartim es nachalasa libito means there's anger, if it goes to the daughter, because he leaves no sons left. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. So how could the Mishnah give this case of giving Masayim to a daughter, implying that a daughter is greater than a son, if in fact a daughter is not greater than a son? And the Rishonim point out, why is the Kadosh Baruch Hu so angry at a person who doesn't have a son? How much is not his fault? So Yadrama writes that it's a situation where the person was an Osek Bepira Rivia, in which case it is his fault that he did not have a son. That's Yadrama's understanding. They quote in the back here 12 different explanations of this Gemara. I'll just share with you one other. The Mizrahi writes in Toras Chaim that a person who tried to have a child but didn't have a son, that's just a simen that Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't very pleased with him. He wasn't Zolcha, that means he wasn't pleased with such a person. That's Peshat in the Mizrahi. And again, there are a number of different other explanations. But either way, we see if a person doesn't leave behind a son, whatever definition you use, Hashem's angry. So how could the Gemara here indicate that a bas is greater than a ben? And so the Gemara answers, Le'inyan Yerusha ben adiflei, but le'inyan harvacha bito adiflei. With respect to Yerusha, so it's greater to have a son. Look where Rashbam writes here, two narrow lines down. Le'inyan nachla ben adiflei de yikra shem hames al nachalaso. Because now when a person has a son, so his son's going to continue that legacy of his father. But a daughter is not going to have the same last name, if you will, and is going to marry into another family, and that family is going to take that Yerusha, so the legacy will not be continued. So legabe nachla, a ben is greater, but legabe bita adifa, with respect to harvach, if there's extra money, so then nothing to do with nechasim, having to do with more money, metaltlin and money, so then it's better to give the daughter, if it's masayim versus mana, the daughter should get more. She's not able to pursue a degree, pursue parnasa as much as a son is able to. So therefore, again, in general, having a Yerusha bends greater because he could continue the legacy. But Lagave giving money over, then it's better to give the daughter over because she's going to be having a harder time to make her parnasa than the son will. Now, Kovit Shirin points out from here, even though we learned elsewhere, that there is no Isser of Hasavas Nachal Mishevet Leshevet. Right, we said in the Midbar, you had to stay within that Sheva to marry, so the Yerusha stays within that Sheva. You can't intermarry different Shvatim. We paskin lemaisa, you're allowed to nowadays. But he says, even though there's no Isser anymore, it still says there is some level of kpeda of taking the Yerusha and passing it over to another family. That's what he learns from this Rashbam here. Okay, let's go weiter. So Gemara now says, Ushmuel Amar, Hacha b'mav keres askinan. We're dealing with the first child. That's the issue. The first child, a son versus a daughter. And there's a particular din of a daughter is greater to be the firstborn than the son. How so? Ushmu amar hachal b'maf keres askin k'd Rav Chista. Damar Rav Chista said, bas tchila it's a simen yafe labanim. Having the daughter as the oldest is a tremendous simen yafe. Why is it a simen yafe? Ika d'amre b'demarve la'acha. Because she's going to help raise her brothers. Those who have an oldest daughter, I do have one. You see that, that's very much the case. I also have an older sister. She was the oldest in my family. It's not always appreciated by the younger sons, but at the same time, you do see that older daughter does take the role of raising her brothers to a certain extent. It's helpful. It's a simen yafe. V'ikad amri delo shalta be'ena bisha. Others say if the daughter's the first, it's not going to encourage Ayin Hara from others. What's the Ayin Abisha? What's the Ayin Hara? So Rabbeinu Gershom writes that if a person sees, where's that Rabbeinu Gershom here on the side, 1 second. He writes around halfway down Rabbeinu Gershom, hold the Islay Bas Meikara. Since the first child is a daughter, lo lemer inish, people are going to say, oh, kama bonim isaldu lelahai. How many sons does this guy have? Once they see the oldest is a daughter, they don't start counting how many sons they have. That's what the Gemara suggests. But either way, we're saying from here is, when we say that a bas is adifa leben, it's only with respect to who the oldest is. If the oldest is a daughter, then the bas is adif mi ben. There is an interesting Tosas here. Look at Tosas. Actually, I'll go a few more lines. I'm sorry. A few more lines first. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista l'didi ban san adifa li mi banai. Rav Chista says, my daughters are greater than my sons. That was his statement. So he sees that, we see from here that daughters are greater than sons. And particularly, I guess, as a firstborn daughter. So look what Tosas writes here. Dibra maschil lididi, all the way down towards the bottom. Lididi ban san adifali mi banai. My daughters are greater than my sons. And he quotes the Perish Bekuntris, which is the Rashbam's understanding. Shlo niskaimu lo banim. He didn't have sons. Either means he had sons and they died, or maybe they didn't stay in the derech, but he didn't have sons, lamaisa, whatever that meant. So Tosa says, that can't be true. You're telling me Rav Chista didn't have sons? V'ein nira, that's not correct. The Harbi banim hayu lo. He had many sons. Kidashkechan, we have the Gemara in Bab Rasa Davches, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. And we have Maryanuka Markashisha, the older one and the younger son, B'nai Rav Chista. Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista. V'chein Rav Meri Rav Pinchas B'nai Rav Chista. But it goes about. So in many places we have children of Rav Chista. Now, one simple answer could have been, who says it's the same Rav Chista? But fine. Tosis assumes it's all the same Rav Chista, so he had multiple sons. So therefore, what pshat in he, like my daughters are greater than my sons, he had sons. So Ella Nir Lari explains, kamar mi banai. What does Rav Chista mean when he says, my daughters are greater than my sons? Because Lefisha ayut chasnav gedolei hador. His sons were great. But his sons-in-laws, the ones who married his daughters, those were even greater because Rava, in some parentheses here, Rav Meri Bar Chama, Mar Ukva Bar Chama. He had some serious sons-in-laws as a gedolei hador, and that's what he meant by this statement. Okay, there is an interesting discussion back here about a tovu meitiv. We know the halacha is that when a person has a boy, the Gemara in Bracha says, you're supposed to say a tovu meitiv because you're more happy when you have a son as opposed to when you have a daughter. That's the halacha. Now, the Divya Tziv, the Klosenberg, wanted to know why this was not the custom. Apparently, people were not saying such a bracha, even though one's supposed to say a bracha. He wanted to know why people didn't say the bracha. So one of the explanations he says is based on this Gemara here, that's not so clear that Tovu Meitiv, that's better to have a son over a daughter. Because the Gemara Babasa here tells us that's better to have a daughter over a son. So that's one of his explanations as to why not. So in which case, the Esha of Ram Mibachach asked the other way around. So now according to this Gemara, that Abbas is Adif from Iben, so we should talk to say a Tovu Meitiv when having a daughter and not when having a son. So either way, it seems that there's a contradiction in Sugyas, and that's the explanation why it's not practiced to say a Tovu Meitiv. Even though it's not practiced, I think it really should be practiced. And the Mishnah Berurah says one should say a tovu meitiv when they have a son. That's the halacha. It's brought down. I don't know why it wasn't practiced. I don't know why we wouldn't reinstitute it. But I think many do say a bracha of tovu meitiv. There is another bracha you say, the Gemara says.
Shem Hashem and everything?
Shem Hashem, yeah.
Right when the baby is born, yeah.
Again, the mother also is supposed to say the bracha, so you want her to also be able to say the bracha. So when she's still like recovering and she can't say anything, it might be kedai to wait a little bit. You still, as long as you still have the simcha of the son, which is still going to be the case at least for the first week to the bris, you could stay until she has some level of sanity.
Mechaber also says it.
Mechaber also, yes, sure. Now there is a din also, the Gemara says, when having a daughter, that one is supposed to say a Shechianu, but that the Mishnah Berurah says the practice is not to say a Shechianu when a daughter is born. Okay. The Gemara now says, Vayter, Ibai Zema. Another suggestion, what it meant in the Mishnah, that Abbas is Adifa Miben, Ibai Zema Ha'mani Rabbi Yehuda. This is the position of Rabbi Yehuda, who says what? That, hey Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda are we referring to? Elema, if this is referring to Rabbi Yehuda, the Bechol, the Tanya of Hashem, Berachas Avram Bechol, he blessed Hashem with everything. What does Bechol mean? Rabbi Meir Omer Shelo Hayulo Bas. Bechol means not having a daughter. Not having a daughter actually means you have a, that's a full blood bracha. You don't want daughters. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shehayisalo Bas, Ubechol Shema. No, that he had everything. He even had a daughter. He was fully blessed. And her name actually was Bechol. He was blessed with a daughter, Bechol. Her name was Bechol. So that's the Rabbi Yehuda you think of. You're seeing it's a chashiv thing to have a daughter. So he's the one who holds that Abbas is Adifu Miben. So asks the Gemara, Amar, Dishmasle, the Rabbi Yehuda, Barsa, Nami Lo Chasrei, Rachman El Avram. Granted, we could learn from Rabbi Yehuda that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't even hold back a daughter from Avram. He gave Avram everything. That's true from Rabbi Yehuda. But Da'adif Miben, Mim Shmasle, we can't learn from Rabbi Yehuda that a daughter is greater than a son. We see having a daughter is a wonderful bracha. But to say it's a greater bracha than a son, that we cannot learn from Rabbi Yehuda. So that cannot be the Rabbi Yehuda that we are referring to. Ella, it must be her Rabbi Yehuda, the following Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya, the Baisa teaches us that Mitzvah Lazunes Abanos, the Kavachomer Labanim Daski Batara Devei Rabbi Meir, that there's a mitzvah to support one's daughters, and on top of that, Kavachomer to support one's sons who are actually Osik Batara. So according to Rabbi Meir, Banim are greater than Banos. But comes along Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mitzvah Lazan Esabanim, the Kavachomer Labanos, Delo Lisazlan. It's better, rather, he says, it's a mitzvah to support the sons, and Kavachomer to support your daughters, because it's disgraceful, it's a zilusa for them to not be supported and having to go door to door or make her parnasa some other way. So you see from Rabbi Yehuda, the Kavachomer goes to the banos, that we treat the banos with more respect than that of the sons.
I was going to explain to Rabbi Meir, saying that if you would have a daughter, Abraham, both would have bad choices, because one is to marry them to a Kanani in the local, and the other one is if they would have to go to, let's say, to Haran, she would have left her to Sarah.
Interesting.
None of the choices were good, so this way
that's
had
right.
No,
only for Avram, but in general, right. not in general.
Just for Avram, because in the situation he was there.
Very good. Luka Tosis writes on the bottom here, Dibra Maska, Bas, he asks an interesting question, Bas haya lo u'bechol shema, vim tomer lama lo hisya li Yitzchak. So why didn't we let this daughter called Bechol let her marry Yitzchak as opposed to going to find someone else, Rivka, namely? The Ben Noach Motil Bachoso. If you assume that Avram had a din of Ben Noach, and a Ben Noach saw a brother and sister can marry each other, so why didn't they marry each other? So it seems like it's a kasha on that. So Vyeshlomar Divishema Ktana Hayisa Laratza Dayan Lasir Li Yitzchak. Perhaps she was a Katana at the time and didn't want to marry Yitzchak at the time. What's the problem with this? How old was Rivka? She was also 3 years old. She was also a katana. So I'm not sure what pshat is with that. Maybe she's really young. Maybe she was under the age of 3. Maybe that's what he means by that. Inami me Hagar ha'isalo. She was who said she was born to Sarah? Maybe she was born to Hagar. V'lo misara v'lachach lo rata lasil Yitzchak. He wanted to marry someone who came from his family, not from Hagar's family. Okay. Gemara says in the bottom here, Ella hadatani. The Braisa says this is even though it sounds like it's a continuation, it's really going back to the Mishnah. He quotes a Braisa, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, the Tanya, Yalda Zachar v'nekeva, if you give birth to a son and a daughter, both of them, so then a Zachar notel shisha dinarim, v'nekeva notel shnei dinarim. So the boy is going to get 6 dinarim and the girl only gets 2 dinarim. So b'mai, what in the world is this Braisa talking about? What's the background? So it comes along Amar Vashi, Amrisa l'shmaisa kamei d'Rav Kahana, and he said the Misaris is referring to a case of Misaris. What's Misarif? So there are two different tanaim. They're made two different conditions. So the Gemara is going to explain what exactly the tanaim were. So the Gemara explains the Tanya, the Braisa tells Damar said rather Damar Zachar Dekila. He says first, if I have my wife as a boy first, he gets Masayim, and then a cave of my second daughter is in a cave, my second child is in a cave, Acharav Loklum, she gets nothing. If, however, my wife in the cave of Tchila gives birth to a daughter first, so she'll get a mana. And then Zachachareh mana. If my son is born next, so then he'll give a mana. So now he's willing to give $200 total. So if the boy is born first, he gets 200. Daughter gets nothing. But if daughter is born first, the daughter gets 100, and then the son gets 100. Fine. So what happens? But Yalda Zachar v'Nekeva, and she gives birth to both a boy and a girl. They're not sure who was born first. So what do you give? Do you give 200 to the boy and nothing to the girl, or do you give 100 to the girl and 100 to the boy? So the Gemara says, so Zachar shak yomana mimanav shach. So the boy definitely gets 100, because no matter whether he's born first or last, he always gets at least 100. So he gets 100, that's starting off. Now, idach mana, what do you do with the second mana? So mamon mutav safek v'chalkin, it's a machlokas, who gets it? Does a girl get it? Or does a boy get it? So therefore you're chalkin, so she gets half, and he gets half. So it ends up being, the way it works, the calculation is shisha dinarim is equal to a mana and a half, and 2 dinarim is equal to a half a mana. So the girl gets half a mana, and the boy gets a mana and a half. That's what the din is. So the Gemara says, but the Hatanya doesn't, the Hatanya, the Braisa tells us, Yalda Zachar Nekeva Ein Lo Ela Mana Hecha Mishkachasla. The Braisa says if she gives birth to a boy and a girl, so he only has to give out 1 mana. So what exactly, how do you find such a case of only giving 1 mana out? So the Gemara explains, Amaravina Bimivsarani. Talking about Mivsarani, what's Mivsarani? Before you turn the page, 1 second, Rashi said, Rashbam says in the bottom here, Lo hisna lasesh lazachan ukeva klum ala lemevaser. The case is he wasn't going to give the son or the daughter anything. He was the guy who was going to report what's the child. Oh, it's a boy, it's a girl. That mevaser, that guy who's going to tell the husband what the gender of the child is. I'm going to give that guy, if he tells me it's a boy, he's getting 200. If he tells me it's a girl, he's only getting 100. He's talking about the mevaser. So that's what's going on. To which the Gemara explains now. The Tani, the top of Amun Bezir, Hamivsareini. The one who tells me my the peterechem what the bechor the oldest is going to be, im zachar yitamane yal de zachar notamane. If he's going to tell me it was a boy, so he's going to get $100. Im nekeva mane. If he says it's a girl, he'll also get a nekeva mane rather yal de nekeva nit notamane. However, yal de zachar nekeva. If he tells me they're twins, a boy and a girl, ein la mane. I'm only giving him mane. I'm not giving him double for that amount. So the Gemara asks, why is he getting anything if a boy and girl are both mentioned? He didn't say that. The Baisha just says, if he has a boy, I'm giving him mana. If he announces a girl, he's getting a mana. That's all he says. He doesn't say, if he has a boy and a girl, I'll give him a mana. He just doesn't say that in statement at all. Sounds like he shouldn't get anything if he announces that there's a boy and a girl. The Gemara says, no, it's a case to Amar Nami, Im Zachar Nekeva Nami Yitamana. He says a third permutation as well. He says, if he announces a boy, he gets a mana. If he announces a girl, he gets a mana. And if he announces boy and girl, he also gets a mana. He said all 3 different scenarios. And so therefore, he gets a mana as the mevaser. Yes, the Gemara says, so el mutemai. Of course, so now you picked every single situation out. So what's the husband trying to accomplish by paying a mana to the mevaser? He says every scenario. So the Gemara says, Lemute mai, lemute nefel. If he announces that the wife had a miscarriage, so then he gets nothing. That's what he's coming to exclude. Okay. Interesting, Bryce. Yeah. I'm not sure. Could be the nurse. I'm not sure why.
Better than to be the doctor.
So, Gemara now says, Hahu damar leile devesai hu nichsai lahai demavras. A guy says to his wife, I'm going to be machne over to the Uber, the fetus that's in you right now, I'm going to give him the chasim to this Uber. So what's the halacha? Amar Rav Huna, have mezake lo Uber, va mezake lo Uber lo kana, you mezake to an Uber, and you cannot give over, because davar shelo bal yolam. You cannot be machne something over to something that doesn't exist in the world, and therefore the acquisition doesn't take effect. That's the din of Rav Huna. So they ask a question, Eisivei Rav Nachman li Rav Huna. Actually, before I go by to just on the top here for a second, look at the Tosfos. Tosas writes, Nichse lahai de ma'avras. So the property I'm going to give over to the Uber. So the Gemara, Tosas writes rather, Bishchimira ayru. We're talking about a person who's deathly ill. Midukamar, how does he know this? Midukamar Allah, v'lok mikrav Yochanan Broka. We're going to see later on in the Gemara, we're going to suggest that this is in the world of Rabbi Yochanan Broka. And Rabbi Yochanan Broka's statement only works in a Shchimira ayru. Midukabai la'el, Allah bibari, hayach fine. So Rabbi Yochanan Broka only works in the world of a shchemira, a person who is deathly ill. So this sugya is only about a shchemira. And v'yafa gav the divrei shchemira kichsuvim l'chusum udarmi. So what? Don't we have a halacha? Whenever the shchemira says, shouldn't it be final? So even though he's talking about the Uber making a kinyan, it should still work because anything he says is kichsuvim l'chusum udarmi. So why doesn't it work by a shchemira? And so answers tells a very important klal we have by a shchemira. He says lo mahani midi. Doesn't work. Why? Kevan de bibari la mahani afilai de kinyan. The klal is a shchemira only works. Something that works for a bari with a kinyan works for a shchemira without a kinyan. But since a bari cannot be makna something to an ubar anyway, even with a kinyan, so it won't work for a shchemira either. That's the klal that Tosos points out. He goes on to bring a case from later on, Daf Kuf Mem Ches, where we see there is some distinction between the two of them, but we're not going to appreciate the case until we get to Kuf Mem Ches, so we'll ignore the second half. But that's the Yesod, that a Shchimera is only able to accomplish whatever a Bari is able to accomplish. The difference is a Bari needs a Kinyan, a Shchimera needs a Mira Ba'alma. So after establishing a Mazak L'Ubar L'Kana, that person tries to give possessions over to an Uber, it doesn't work because it's Davar Shelo Bal Yolam. So Kumara asks a question now. Esive Rav Nachman L'Rav Huna. Ha'omer im yalda ishti zachar yitamana, yalda zachar no tamana. If a person says, we saw this just above, if my wife gives birth to a boy, I'm going to give her the boy a mana, and it happens, how could that be? How could that be? Amar lei, Mishnah seinu eini yode mishana. Who taught this Mishnah? Because we say that it shouldn't really work, because a mazakal uber lo kane. So who is the author behind this statement? So the Gemara says, Lema le Rabbi Meir. Maybe Rabbi Meir authored this statement that you can't be mazakah to the zachar amana. The Amar adam makne davar shelo bal yolam. Rabbi Meir allows a person to be makne something that doesn't exist in the world just yet. So he's the author behind this brayso. The Gemara says, Eimer de shmasle the Rabbi Meir lo davar sheyeshen be'olam, but lo davar sheino be'olam mi shmasle. Rabbi Meir allows you to be makne something that exists in the world. Look at the Rashbam here. See Rashbam here, it's around six wide lines down. Eimer de shmasle the Rabbi Meir b'davar sheyeshen be'olam. B'shas kinyan, that the object has to exist in the world, ela shadayin lo higiyas manu liknos. It's just lacking in the time. Kitakatani harei ha-mekudesh is la'acha she'es gayer, la'acha she'es gayri. Then marry me after I convert, or marry me after you convert. You and I both exist in this world, we're just missing some zman, some time, some maisa. That's where he allows this. Tiha'isha ha-niknesh lo harei hi-be'olam. The woman exists. El shadayin lo higiyas manaliknos, as niskaira. About ubar, but when the ubar, the one being kona, doesn't exist yet, that even Rabbi Meir will agree doesn't work. So again, who authored the mission that says haomer im yalda zachar yitamana yalda zachar no tamana? It can't be Rabbi Meir. So then the Gemara suggests maybe let's say lema le Rabbi Yosi da amar ubar kana. Rabbi Yosi actually does allow an Uber to make an acquisition. How do we see this from Rabbi Yosi? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Yevamos, O Uber posel, veinu maichel divrei Rabbi Yosi. An Uber is going to disqualify and also won't allow it to eat. What's the case here? So Rashbam explained it's a situation where Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen. And we know when a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, so she's allowed to eat Truma. Now, and her Avadim also could marry eat Truma. Let's say now she becomes pregnant, and her husband dies. So she no longer, when she becomes single, she can't eat chuma anymore, she's a Bas Yisrael. But if she has a child, the child of Kohen can allow her to eat chuma and the Avadim to eat chuma. But now the child isn't yet born. So what's the status of the Uber at this stage? So Rashbam says, based on the Gemara, right now the child is a Zar, a non-Yisrael, until the child is born. So that child now is going to postal, disqualify her and the Avadim from eating chuma, and it won't be Maicha, it won't allow to eat chuma either. So you see that Uber has a certain effect on things, and a certain kinyanim. Look how the Rashbam says now that I said this outside. Rashbam writes, Rabbi Yosi, look at like 10 lines down, in 10 wide lines down, the end of the lines is Titnan, the Perak Almana, Biyavamos. A Bas Yisrael shenisei shlekoin. A Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, umeis, the Kohen dies, v'nicho muberes, and he leaves her pregnant when he dies. Lo yochlo avadeha b'tshuma. Her avadim cannot eat tshuma. Mipnei chelko sheuber. Just because the uber is a potential kohen, the avadim cannot eat yet tshuma. Kidem afar shasim, the uber b'meimo zara b'mei zara zarhu. A fetus in the mother herself is a zar. She's a non-kohen, she's a bas yisrael. So the child, the uber at this stage is also a zar. She uber posel veino maichel divrei Rabbi Yosi. The Ubar is only able to disqualify someone from eating, namely the Avadim, and cannot allow someone to eat. Kolomar, Sha'ubar shenis abra, this fetus, Yisraelis mikoin baila, shemes, posel se'eved milechel b'tshuma mipnei chelko. So it's going to disqualify the coin, the Avadim from eating. The Ubar b'mei zara zarhu, v'lo karina be, we don't call it, v'yilid beso heim yochel b'lachmo. Deino yelido shakoin likros koin ad sheyetzei la'aver ha'olam. This child does not become a koin until the fetus is born. Veino ma'echles imo yisraelis v'shei barasin mekoin, and doesn't allow the mother to eat either. That's the klal here.
So basically, if she wouldn't be pregnant, the Avadim also wouldn't be able to eat.
Correct.
So it's just that it doesn't, that the Uber doesn't change the current status. That's all.
Correct.
It's not posel. It's just that he's not matir.
Interesting. Because it would change once.
I mean, the father dies. The husband dies. Then she goes back to her father. So nobody should be able to eat truma, right?
Right. It's true.
Unless they're yorshim. But I guess there are no yorshim, because otherwise it wouldn't be an issue.
Right. If they were kohanim, then they certainly could eat. If they were kohanim, they already were born to her. It's a good point. But what we're saying from this, the final point here, I'm trying to see that it's a good, very good question. Rashbam, in the end of the day, says, so how do we learn from here that Rabbi Yossi holds that you can be mezakeh le'ubar? Because he says, now since this ubar has a chelek in the nechasim of his property, of his father's property, and he is a czar only, so now he prevents anyone else from being able to eat. Look at the last line of the Rashbam there. The same Dibur Maskil we're reading, the last line says, Alma, mezakeh le'ubar kana hol v'yarish mimela b'nichsei aviv. So now the Ubar has full control as a czar of his father's property, and he's preventing anybody else from eating it. And what Ricky's saying is, but wait a second, he's not really kohen anything, because there is no kohen to allow, if there was no Ubar, the natural understanding would be that the Avadim couldn't eat either. So he's not really being kohen anything. There's nothing to allow them to eat. There's no positive thing allowing them to eat. It's a great question.
Yeah.
Well, if there are other kids...
And they also inherited the
Avodah. Oh, and yeah, he would still possibly.
So if there weren't the Uber, then they could eat based on the others.
So it's asking where there are kids,
right.
And he comes in.
So when there are kids, then what?
When there are kids, other Kohanim,
yeah.
So Rabbi Yossi holds that this Uber has a chelik in that property as well. And since he's a czar, he actually disqualifies from
knows.
The Avodah from eating it, since he has a chelik czar in it. And he's ruining for everybody else. And that's why he has a, even as an Ubar, he has a chelik. So that's the proof that there is, you can be mezakeh le'ubar. That's the idea. So maybe Rabbi Yossi is the author behind the one who says, ha'omer im yalda ishti zacha yitamana. You can be mezakeh to an Ubar. So the Gemara says, no. Shani Yerusha haba me'aleha. The world of Yerusha is very different. The case of Rabbi Yossi and the Ubar and the Nechasim and the Chuma, that's where there's Yerusha. Yerusha is this natural transition. That's understood. That's one case where the Uber just a natural Yorish, so that we allow the Uber to have a certain chalik. But to be makna something over, where a person is not supposed to otherwise get, to be makna something, even Rabbi Yossi will agree, you cannot be mizaki le Uber. So then the Gemara says, maybe the one behind the statement is Leimalei Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokahi, the Amar Loshna Yerusha Loshna Matana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokah allows a person to Tanam, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokah Omer, Im Amar Al Misha Roy Liarsha Dvarv Kayamim. A person could give his property over to a relative of his, someone who's right to Yorishim. Whether he's giving it b'toras Yerusha or b'toras Matana, you can give something over. And so even an Ubar is right to Yorisho, so Rabbi Yochanan Broka would allow even Matana to go to a right to Yorisho, even to an Ubar. So the Gemara says, Emer d'shmas le'li Rabbi Yochanan Broka l'davar shi'eshim ba'olam. L'davar she'ena ba'olam yamar. Rabbi Yochanan Broka says a statement about a person who's living, who's already born, who's Royal Yarsho. Did he ever say a statement about a person who wasn't yet born? That we never found for Rabbi Yochanan Broka. So maybe he would not allow, he wouldn't be the author behind the statement of Ha'omer Ishti Zachar Yitamana. So then the Gemara says, well, Lay Malay, maybe you hold Rabbi Yochanan Broka plus Savarlek Rabbi Yossi. Maybe hold up both opinions. That Rabbi Yochanan Broka allow you to give a matana to Royal Yarsho, plus Rabbi Yossi's statement who thinks an Ubar considered some level of zuchus. And the Gemara says, Miyema de Sabrele. Whoever said that they hold see eye to eye, you can't start comparing two different opinions, again, where Rabbi Yossi gives certain credence to the Ubar, and Rabbi Yochanan Broka allows you to give a matana to Rav Yarsho to match two different opinions. We never saw such a opinion, so that would be seemingly far fetched. So then the Gemara says, Le Malay, suggest maybe Bimisareni. Maybe we're talking about a situation of, you're talking about the Mevaser. The whole statement above where you said, Ha'omer im yalda ishi zacha yitalmana, yalda zacha no tamana. What?
That was my first question originally.
That would be, so,
yeah,
Samar says, we're not giving to the child who's not yet born.
Right.
Give it to the Mevaser, the guy who Dr. Samai wants to be. The guy who says, who's the boy, it's a girl. Give that guy, and he does exist in this world. There is no Shaila of Davar Shelo Ba'al Yolam. So the Gemara says, if you think that this case is talking about a mivaser, ihachi, tikatani seifa, the seifa says, v'mein sham yorish elohu, yorish akol. If he's the only yorish we saw in the end of the Mishnah, So he gets everything. This is referring to what? That tumtum case, right?
Yeah.
He has a tumtum. But if he's, it said, the nekevos push him to the zachar, the zachar push him to the nekevos, so the tumtum gets nothing. He's stuck in the middle. But if the tumtum is the only one left, he gets the entire rusha. So now, if we're saying this is now referring to a mevaser, even sarani, yorish mayavidase. Mevaser is not called a yorish. So that can't be the understanding of this Mishnah that we're talking about a mevaser. So the Gemara makes one more suggestion, which we'll just end here. Tomorrow we're going to go to continue with suggestions who authored this. But the Gemara says, Le male kisha bishayalda. Maybe already the boy was born, the child was born. And the husband doesn't, the father doesn't know yet with the genders. So then he says, whatever the child is, if the child's a zachar, he's going to get a mona. And if it's in the cave, he's going to get a messiah. So they already exist in this world. Maybe that's a situation where he says, Ha-homer la-ishti, yaldi-ishti. So Gemara says, if we're talking about a case, Mishayalda, where the child was already born, Ihachi, Dikatani Sefer, the Sefer that says, Im Amar Komasha Telid Ishti Yitol, if he says, whatever my wife gives birth to, whether it's a Zachar Nekev or Tumtum, Hareza Yitol, Kosha Telid, Hareza Yitol, the child, even a Tumtum, would take this money. So Kosha Telid, Kosha Yolda Mibarle, it should say anything that she already had given birth to already in the past tense. Since it doesn't say that, we're referring to a child that has not yet been born. So we're still trying to figure out who authored this Mishnah, and we'll stop here because the Gemara is going to go deep into the next one. Another suggestion tomorrow.
So, okay. So previously when we said that the Mishnah is talking about the Vassar,